God does is fruitful. Just let that sink in. Everything that is originated with God is by God's power and design will be fruitful. There's no place where God does futile. It's only fruitfulness. I just need to let that sink in, don't we? Because sometimes when we look around us, we see devastation and desolation and unfruitfulness. And we might even be, you know, concerned enough to think, God, do you see this? Do you understand this? And what we need to be constantly affiliating ourselves with is that God never desired that things would be that way for us, but that he would desire that we would choose what is in him, which is the fruitfulness that he can give us. So we're going to look at today. Last week we looked at, you know, a secret of understanding the reality of what generosity does in our lives. Today, on the last Sunday of November, that's right, it's December next week, guys. It's December. You know, Black Friday will have passed, gone and been, and we will have moved on to December. But in this moment, I want to take this moment, maybe get you to look forward to February, where people go through 2 months of celebrating Christmas and then January trying to work out who they are and what they are and what they've decided to do. And I want to just be mature as coastlanders and look forward and say, from this vantage point in November, what can we see in February we're walking into? But we know that God intends for multiplication. We know that he is causing us to be a people who are strong and courageous because he is causing us to be built to last. We're not a flash in the pan. We're not something that's going to be around for 10 minutes and then be moved. We are something that is established by God. That not only that he has established us, but that others can rely. That is the picture of the church. And that we can rely on one another in Christ. So the fruitfulness of Christ is actually something that points us to the secret to living fulfilled. If your view is Christ and your view is the one who always brings multiplication, then your view of the desolation and the challenges and all the things you go through is going to be inherently changed. Remember last week we talked about standing at a higher level, built on what Christ had done in the foundations, built up now in Christ to see from a different vantage point. It doesn't mean that you're removed from the circumstance. It just means you've moved in your perspective. And it changes everything. Just like with the understanding of the fruitfulness of Christ. If you've been really trying to be fruitful, you know, really create something powerful, different, meaningful with your life, the good news is that Christ is the author and the perfecter and the one who will deliver it. We've been reading through a chapter, or not even a chapter, a few verses that's helped us to remember what it is through this last month that God has really done. And I'm going to read through it verse by verse. And just make sure we capture this one last time before we walk through the season ahead. And I found this a lot, that as we have these meetings together, that during the week, God outworks this in ways that we didn't expect. So I would suggest listening. Don't be that person who's like, what is going on? And Annette has to say to you, well, it was in this dot point on my notes. All right, bit of fun there. We've got to know one another. But listen to this verse. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, it says, I give thanks to my God always for you. It's personal. Because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. It's personal, friends. We are grateful because each one of us who has received Christ has been personally reconciled, and yet together we share this common reality. When you know, right? When you've been reconciled to Christ, it suddenly changes what you believe about everything. Not about a couple of things, about everything. And what we believe matters. Not just what you think or an option you're choosing, what you believe, what you are convicted about, what causes Your hands, your feet, your mind to walk things out is in your heart. What we have received is personal from my God for you. The grace of God was given from Jesus Christ personally. Jesus wasn't an abstract thought. He was a person who has delivered this to you and I. We remember, hey, I'm grateful for this reconciliation. Aren't you? We do it in songs and prayers and preaching. I'll keep moving. Verse 5 says, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. We look both to Christ for what he's done and we look around us to be encouraged. Look at the testimony of what God has done. As Josh stood up this morning and reminded us of people who've graduated to heaven, people who've come in to the community and will be in eternity with us. Things that are shifting among us. We are grateful. We are knowing that this faithfulness that we talk about is not from us. It's from him. He who justified us. He set us in place. We're not out there justifying our own importance, putting a resume before everybody. Our testimony is not a resume so that others will think we're good. Our testimony points to Jesus and says, you can come into his justification too, so that you don't strive and struggle, but you can rest in what he's done. Isn't it amazing? Don't you remember Gav speaking about the enriched purpose? We're not just living a life, you know, of trying to find meaningful purpose. We are enriched to the purpose of which God has created us. Beanie speaking on amazing grace that has been delivered to us. Who we know and who we trust really matters. It defines our life more than we know. Who you know, if you know Jesus, that's where your justification is. And that trust is sure. You say, I don't know about my credibility, but I'm definitely leaning on his. He says who I am. And I live from that place. It's a new platform for living. Last week we talked about verse 7. So that you are not lacking in any gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you until the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we have been generously supplied and sustained. There is no excuse. When we open our arms wide to Jesus, he says, I'm providing for everything that you need. Not necessarily everything you want, but everything you need. Christmas is coming. It's a very important lesson for your children. Everything you need will be provided. You know? Not necessarily everything you want. It's a caveat. Don't use it that way. But we are supplied and we are sustained by God. He knows us. He knows our struggles. He knows our doubts. He knows our excuses. And so he says, I'll look after that. I'll take that and I'll deal with that. Just so that we can come into a complete support and surrender to him. Remember last week we talked about what's your support structure? Is it things around you or is it Christ in you? How we live in Christ really matters. He's not just another thing that we use to get through life. He is the one that we engage to walk life out. The beauty of this scripture is powerful. And today we're going to look at this one verse, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you were called into what? Fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? God is faithful. He could have put in there, you are not. God is faithful. We wouldn't be. God is faithful. You would try to be. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we weren't just called out of the prison. We were called into relationship. We weren't just called out of slavery. We were called into communion with God. Those people who might receive an invite are receiving an invitation to a relationship with Jesus. And we need to be bold and clear about that. I would love for you to meet the church, but I'd really like you to meet Jesus. In seeker-sensitive culture over the last 20 years, the church has been more happy for people to meet the church than to meet Jesus. We can say that. It's verifiable, statistically, completely verifiable. And the cost is that people don't understand why they're here and what they're doing. And the cost is unity, maturity, and mission. The mission is not to end up in Sunday doing what we're doing today. This is just part of who we are and what we do to gather together. The mission is to release people into the fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the Father's mission. The mission of God is to deliver this through our lives. Now, of course, we have many ways that God has made that available to us. But let's just take a moment. When we read this 1 Corinthians 1, 4-9, we get to just gaze upon the beauty of what God has done. Just take a moment of thankfulness and say, you have reconciled me to yourself. You have justified me in every place where I was trying to justify myself. And you have been faithful where I haven't. You have purified what I couldn't cleanse. And now I generously open my hands to what you might do. If you can do that, if you can purify a human being from the inside out, then what can't you do? I want to generously share this with others who are trying to live it out from the outside in. You know, we've stopped doing that if we're a Christian. You've stopped living from the approval of the outside in, and now you live with the approval of what God has done in you. And you live it out. And you are multiplied. You are multiplied in your effectiveness, in your ability, in your capability. You don't just have your own gifts and talents that you were born with. You have the Holy Spirit's gifts and talents that He's given you to be able to love God and love one another. Love what Ali said this morning. They're not for you. They're for others. You know, God's gifted me with this. Well, it's not you. It's for others. You got to get with His program. Faithful with little, faithful with much. God will take you on. But just to be able to, in line with the season, and I know a lot of you are doing exams, and you're going to probably have a moment as I say this. There's a new covenant transformation equation, friends, that you need to know. It's very simple, but it's easy to forget. There is a new covenant, because God does transformation, not confirmation. He doesn't bend you into shape. Remember that? He doesn't bend you into shape and make you fit against your will. No, He says, you come to me with all of your will and say, make me into what you've designed me to be. Cause me to fit, shape me, put me in place. It's very different. He does transformation. And then He puts us in the fire and He creates an amazing workmanship. We're going to land in that today. But the new covenant transformational equation is this. The faithfulness of Jesus and the fellowship with Him will cause fruitfulness. Can't do it any other way. Can't go around it. Can't make up a new version. The world has tried. Read the entire Old Testament. It's there for the benefit to understand that without God, without His faithfulness, without His fruitfulness, without His fellowship, we will not be fruitful. Faithfulness plus fellowship equals fruitfulness. You cannot remove faithfulness from fellowship, or you'll get something else. Well, that's the scripture anyway. That's what the scripture said to us. God is faithful, whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, plus fellowship, Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who is ultimately fruitful, the first fruits of the gospel, the one who everything will be tied up in that is fruitful, the one who will get all the glory, all the praise, all the honor forevermore. He's the epitome of fruitfulness. So what is this old word fellowship? I mean, I've heard it. I've been in church since, you know, I can remember. I've heard it in all sorts of facets and denominations and types, and this old word fellowship. What does it mean? What does it mean for us today? to be in fellowship with Christ. What does it mean? As I started to scratch and to get into this and understand it, if the result of faith plus fellowship is fruitful, reproducing, being together with him, it lands us in a different result than what the world would, than what our own desires would. It lands us in a movable faith, which God talks about through the prophets, steadfast love, and abundant life. Read the Psalms, read Isaiah, read any of the prophets. It talks about this God who lands us in immovable faith. Why are you unsure? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Steadfast love. My love will continue. It will outlast all things. He says, he's the picture of abundant life, the picture of what it is to carry the love of God. The earthly conformity equation looks very diminished. Unfaithfulness plus separation from God equals futileness. One is fruitful eternally. The other is impotent, unable to reproduce. I mean, you cannot get a more stark picture of the direction. I don't know about you, but you know, a lot of people aren't thinking through the equation. They're not thinking through what they're putting together. And we have cause to say, you need to think about this. If you are unfaithful to God, to other human beings, to anything, then you are causing separation. And if you add separation to it, it's going to create something futile. God doesn't do separation. He does reconciliation. God doesn't do unfaithfulness. He does faithfulness. And that faithfulness delivers fruitfulness. One is God's reality. The other one is try-hard reality. Working so hard and blowing everything up. If you've been there, you can in your heart go, amen, I used to do that. Now I choose Christ. But what is this fellowship with Christ? The epitome of being in fellowship with Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 5, 8, 58 says, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So outside of the Lord, we can surmise it is in vain. But inside of Christ, inside of his fellowship, it is not in vain. Fellowship with Christ is to be known by him and then to know him. That takes time. The most expensive commodity we have, time. To let God reveal, I know you, and I've always known you. And then have time to say, I want to know you, Lord. What it delivers is a refreshing and a refocusing. When we never get time to hear from God how he knows us, and we never take time to actually know him, through prayer, the word, worship, all of those things that God's made available, what happens is we start getting our knowing of who we are from somewhere else. What we do spend all our time with. And then we know how they or it or whatever it is thinks about us. And we begin to know it. And it changes our attributes. But when we spend time with God, we remember the attributes of God. You are steadfast, you are immovable, and you are abounding. You will not stop. You are continuous. And fellowship with Christ is critical. We know that. We know that nothing that we do in Christ is vain or will return void, because God says anything that's moved by his word will not return void. But the interesting thing is that it uses this old word, steadfast. Steadfast. And we used it this morning. It's actually God's patience. In some settings, people believe, oh, you know, God's impatient. He's like, wants response. He wants, no. That's probably our timing. God is incredibly long-suffering, incredibly patient. And he is waiting for every person to understand he knows them, and to want to know him. God's patience, his steadfastness. This is the depth of what we get when we have fellowship with him. So this is the vertical I'm talking about at the moment, as John Piper would say, the vertical engagement with God. But fellowship goes further. This is good news, isn't it? It's actually the mutual bond that we then have. Horizontally, together, we have this same bond. You know what it's like to receive God's patience, his steadfast love. You know what it's like to be reconciled to him. You know, and so do I. Something has happened here that has become personal and global. In one instant. And God's desire to share it with everyone has made fellowship not just something that's with Christ, it's in Christ with one another. There is a mutual bond that we suddenly have. You are born into the family of God. You are connected. You are a valuable member of what God is doing. And if you're not doing it, we feel it. And when you are doing it really well, we feel it. And when you're suffering, we feel it. And when you're joyful, we feel it. We can't get away from what God has put us in. This is part of fellowship, a mutual bond that God has delivered. It's steadfast. We are now in a place where God is doing this because it's only possible through Christ. I can only love him through Christ, and we can only love one another truly and genuinely through Christ. He is central to everything we do. He loves fellowship. Imagine the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting around the table planning out what was coming. What fellowship, what fruitfulness. They wouldn't have even thought about, are we going to be fruitful, steadfast, faithful? That's who they are. But now each one of us, we have a shared gospel in Christ. We have a shared union with Christ. We have a shared life in Christ. We have a shared love for Christ. It's not common unity. It does this. It's the unity of Christ. It's not just common. It's mutual. Every one of us has felt it personally from God and now resonates with it towards one another. Horizontally. James 1, verse 4 to 5, just going back to this word, steadfast. And this is in the context of facing challenges. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wow. We're in fellowship with God. Steadfastness flows from his throne. It flows from him. It's not held back. Oh, you can't have any. I like that person better. That's my favorite. That's not how it is. Whoever taps into fellowship taps into the full gamut of what is available in God. When we don't, we don't. But when we do, we engage everything. And God uses his people to bless others. Christian fellowship, what is this that we're talking about? The old word in the Greek, which is a transliterated form, is a Greek word called koinonia, which you will or may have heard. It refers to the concept of fellowship, joint participation, partnership, sharing, which we've talked about, sharing in, a jointly gifted contribution, everybody coming together with their gifts, Romans 12, a collection, a congregation, those who come together, and a contribution. These words come out of the concept of koinonia, that we have fellowship with God and with one another. But I'll tell you, every human word, Greek, English, whatever, it's scratching to try and understand the true meaning of fellowship in Christ. Because we only see it when we're in him and we're among one another. That's when it's seen. We'll get to why in a moment. God is fulfilling something, friends, through fellowship. I don't know about you, I always want to know the outcome. I want to know the origin, where's this coming from, and where is this going? I've become comfortable that I don't need to know what's in between that. Though I'll ask a lot of questions. But I've seen a lot of stories in Scripture where people ask a lot of questions about the middle part, and it seems to delay them getting on with it. And God having, you know, we've talked through Gideon, who was having discussions with God, Moses. Are you sure you want to do this? Let me tell you, some people are like, I've had a burning bush moment. And I'm like, if you've had a burning bush moment, you're late. If a bush has had to light up in front of you, I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for the picture of stubbornness that we can be and the release of God. If a donkey has to talk to you, friends, that's not a celebration moment. If a shape of a cloud speaks to you in the, you know, in the day, seriously, you're not having enough fellowship. Because God will tell you plainly what you are to do. He's completing you. He's perfecting you. Steadfastness. He's coming upon you to help you be at peace, even when he's working on you. It's amazing. The steadfastness of God, God's patience. But there is a mutual bond where we get to share in this. Afterwards, we're going to get to share in morning tea, right? And that's some foods and things like that. But don't just share in the morning tea. While using the vehicle of morning tea, share in what God has done. The union, the understanding of what it is to be with Christ, that you have a shared life. Oh, I know what it is to be alive in Christ. I'm not my own. He's taking me on this journey. And I want to love others in a way that's just not what is normal if you're self-centered. Covenant is a place of trust and commitment, and God knows it. He invented it. That means he is fully trustworthy and fully committed. He's like, what do you want to do? I've done all this. What do you want to do? I just need your agreement. That's what God's saying. To anyone in this room this morning who has never met Jesus or never walked in the fullness of fellowship with him, he's just asking, has he done enough for you to get your agreement? But he will never force you. What a loving God. But to be fulfilled in Christ, I've noticed there are a few things that happen. He invites us, we heard that this morning, and we get to accept. He's intentional. He set out the form of agreement. Didn't trust us to make one. We'd put too many caveats in there. So he's made one that's for the fullness of time. How about I love you? I do the extension of give it laying down my life. I respond to everything that's needed. I take out sin. I take out the meaningful, powerful, you know, challenge of death, guilt, and shame. And then you just respond and walk with me. How about we do that? God wrote the terms. It's better than you can imagine. And I can imagine. So he's done a covenant. There's a place of trust and commitment. He's invited and we accept. He's intentional and we get to agree. And he's invested. He's fully active. From the moment we say yes, his patience, his steadfastness flows towards us in a transforming power. But we get to actually live in a space where we are at the table, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He draws us in and he says, welcome, new family member. Pull up a chair. Firstly, we are welcome at the table. We get to take communion together, but that's just a picture of the communion we have, with the entwinedness we have, the picture that you are at the table of fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And every time we come into that place, we are able to talk with them. We call it prayer. And we're able to do that as individuals. And like tonight, we're able to do that as a shared reality, to celebrate it together. We're able to come to this table of communion, we're able to converse with the living God. Maybe in our self-serving, I get to do whatever I want, I get to choose whatever I want society, we've forgotten the absolute fear and reverence that we get to talk with the living God. Has there even been an expectation that's come over the Western church? Well, I should be able to. You know, I'm me and he's him. Who are you? In light of God, he is faithful. We have been brought into this because of him. And we get to stand before him. We get to sit with him and to talk with him. Wow. You get to sit with him. Moses had to hide in the cleft of a rock. And we get to sit with God and converse about our innermost thoughts, which he already knows, but he wants to hear from us. Those moments, those things blow me away. But being fulfilled in Christ means that actually there's something else happening. Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine. Genuine love comes from fellowship. Abhor what is evil, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. When you spend time in the presence of God, when you spend time in the fellowship of God, you will get an innate hate for evil. What it's done in your life, what it does in others' lives, and you will want to hold fast to what is good. You'll get a distaste for anything that has the scent of Satan, and you will get a real taste for what goodness is, and God's goodness is delivered. Just spend time with him, be in fellowship with him and those God has put us with. There's something that happens. So God doesn't just go, hey, here's this great covenant, now off you go, work it out for yourselves. Visit me, check in like your GP now and then, or your psychologist, or whatever support structure you use. You know, when you brush your teeth or whatever. I've heard that. I'm like, what crap? Check in with God when you brush your teeth? Are you seriously? You're relegating him to a hygiene process? Have we reached that, friends? Is that where we're at? I'm reliant on him. I digress. Jesus shows us how this works. So when we sit with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's like, have you met my Father? He's awesome. You need to get to know him. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know what he does? Can I introduce you to him? Because he's going to be a big part of this. Because anything that's flowing through what I've done is going to come through him. Do you know the Father? Everything, the whole idea came from him. It's his plan. You're going to need to know them. We're going to need to talk about stuff. You're going to want to hear from us because we know the plan. We know what we designed you for. We know what we have for you. He shows us and he grows us. He's with us all the time. He wants to show it. Verses like, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is active and it's engaged. Taste and seen. We're going to taste some morning tea, but I hope that you taste the goodness of God. You're going to see the reality of, wow, here's all this in front of us. What an abundant feast. We need to have this together. I want you to see the abundance we have together. That God has abundantly blessed us and brought us into a place where he shows us his goodness. Goodness is reserved to God. Both steadfastness and goodness are reserved in God's understanding, not ours. Nothing in the world can understand these two words. God is steadfast. God is good. And his goodness is God's kindness towards us. You can think of the greatest kindness you've ever experienced, and it will be nothing in comparison to God's kindness that is coming towards you. Not that it's not bad. It'll be good in its measure, just not good in the measure against God. We've got to be careful. We can't measure things against God's goodness because he will outstrip them every time. Go to the best. But genuine love in us, this Romans 12 moment, genuine love reveals God's version of goodness to one another. Well, I am giving you the version of love, the version of goodness that I have experienced. Not the version that the world's dishing up, not just a little bit better. What was that? What was that energy drink ad that said, you know, the kick that improves you a bit? That's not what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's not just improving you a bit, making you a little bit better than what's out there. He wants you to carry the revelation and reveal it to others of the goodness of God. That in challenge, in strive, in all the things that you're walking through, in joys, that we would express God's version of goodness. The result is powerful because it's a result of fellowship. That you carry the goodness of God. You can't help it. When you're in fellowship with God, the simplicity is you will carry his steadfastness, his patience. for situations, people. I can imagine that being needed over Christmas. But you also have this innate result that you carry his goodness, the definition of it. You know what it is. You've experienced it. You've experienced God's kindness. Therefore, we can release that to others in a powerful way. I hope today, in some form or another, you are seeing the importance of fellowship. And when it's set aside from faithfulness, it doesn't result in the fruitfulness that God intended. You know, you can be a faithful Christian. You can attend church for 20 years. You can come in and go out without one engagement with another human being, and you will have understood the faithfulness of God. But without the fellowship of God, both with him vertically and one another, we miss the fruitfulness that God intended as a result. In James 1, 16 to 18, and I'm landing, says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We are new, made new, new creations to carry new things that God has for us that are yet to be seen on the earth. So some would say, "Hang on, Ben, you've talked about my personal relationship with God, and then you've talked about, you know, our engagement with one another, but where do I get to be unique?" He's created you in a unique design to engage a world that does not know him. Whether you're thinking about it intentionally or not, whether you're having a missionally aware moment or not, we are called, as Romans 12 says, to defend unity. That means to stand against what is evil and advance the gospel. Go to what is God. God and good. We have a God-given ability to firmly, persistently resist evil. Do you know that? Not just say, "Oh, I'm scared of it and it's coming at me." No, front-footed. I spend time with God. I'm coming from the fellowship of God, and you have no place in my life or anyone I'm associated with. And it knows. Resist the devil and he will flee with you, flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's a coward. And choosing, but we're active, to follow the way of good. I know your plans, evil, and I resist you. But I know your plans, God, and it is good. I walk towards you. In Ephesians 2:10, maybe the band can come up. I'm going to finish with this. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Two key things. It's created in Christ Jesus. In the fellowship with Christ Jesus, we come into salvation. In the fellowship with Christ Jesus, we come into family. In the fellowship of Christ Jesus, we find our fruitful mission. And he set those works for us in advance. And so we're just finding out, "God, what have you got for me today? How do you want to do this in my life? How do you want us to respond?" This is the benevolence of God. He is good to us. The fact that God is good to us should be reminded and blowing our minds. God, you are good to us. Whatever brought that situation about, whatever brought that hurt about, whatever brought that challenge about, God, you're good to us. That's unshakable.